Because he's God. But yet still, as we talked about last week, how he still tells us, come, let us reason. You know, if seek, you shall find. We can still ask him questions. He's still very much approachable.
If you lack wisdom.
If you lack wisdom. Right, yeah. Yeah, and I think Jermaine said something I remembered the other time. I have to think about it when he said how God, help me out, remember, how God is good and he consumes those darkness to make it like he is.
He doesn't just come to the darkness. He comes to transform
the darkness. Into
darkness. It's like his very nature.
That's his very nature.
So anything he come around has to change. Because his very nature is not
right.
Yeah, just by his very nature. Yeah.
Man, I went home that night, and I just kind of marveled at that. You know,
wow.
You know. Now we are at, in terms of number four. Who is the Word of God? Because we looked at God as this big, massive person, but yet still now he comes down and is becoming more palatable. And who is the Word of God? And with that,
I think, like as you go into that, I think you made another good point last week too, which was that, because I'm talking about like going into the Word, it was how you made the point that you can't separate a person from their word.
Yes.
So,
was it?
It's right there.
It was a quote I had.
Right below number four, which says four.
Yeah, a man is no different than his words. However expressed, a man cannot separate his words from who he is.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
No, it was this right here. I know
I've seen it on here somewhere. Next time I'm going to have to highlight it, make it dark. Yeah, but you cannot separate. You can't separate a man from his word. You can't do it. The words that come out your mouth represents who you are. You can't do it. You know, and I know there's different belief systems out there where they say, in terms of Christ, that... he's separate from God. If he is the Word of God, all God did was put flesh on His Word. That's all He did, and His Word has walked among us. So we are really entertained by God. But you know what? Last night, man, I was meditating, and the Lord said, His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, how His Holy Spirit. How he breathed his word. And so his Holy Spirit is no different from God's word because it's his breath. And so the Lord showed me, like, the triune, how they're all of them are connected. All of them are connected. Because oftentimes we don't think about the Holy Spirit. And I hope some future Bible studies will be about the Holy Spirit because he has his own character. Characteristics, you know, and that just makes it more powerful. Yeah. Anyway, so I mean, it's just awesome to think about, man. How you can't separate them. And actually, I remember I was talking with my sister Francine, and she had showed me somewhere in the Bible where if one is there, the other two is there at all. They're inseparable. When God is speaking. And she showed me where his Holy Spirit was there and his word was there all together. I mean, just like, you can't have one without the other. I'm going like, wow, that's deep. That may be another Bible study too. So, yeah, but anyway, so. Yeah, but thank you, Brother Aaron, for that. Anybody else want to kind of bring up something we talked about last week?
I just kind of want to just chime into that. That going back to Genesis, when God said, let us. You know, he took counsel within himself and said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And then, too, a lot of times we say God created man to worship him, and there's an aspect of truth to that. But then, too, God wasn't lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Again, by his very nature, is love and his very nature to extend who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so God wanted to extend himself, not just in heaven, but to earth. He extended himself in the person of in man when he made Adam and Eve.
Yes, yes, yes.
And included them in his counsel.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if I'm in Christ, if it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and if I'm in Christ, I'm included in his counsel.
In his counsel.
Mm-hmm. I'm included. He said, me and my Father are one. Mm-hmm. You know, as I am in the Father, so are you. I think that's John 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, as he are one, we are one with him. So it's just, you know.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
When you talk about the Trinity.
The Trinity, yes, yeah. Oh, amen. Anybody else on China? Who's the way this is it was just having a conversation. I do have scriptures in terms of direction, you know, I want to go into. So I'll ask people if people want to read the scripture, that's fine. One thing about me, since I did already have my scriptures here, you know, so I don't have to look it up. And let's go to John 1:1, speaking about who is the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you can't separate from who he is. And then you go down to Genesis, you go down to John 1:14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
So that shows completely how God formed his Word, or Jesus Christ. And he himself, God himself, has dwelt among us through his Word, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, and again, you can't separate from who he is. And I kind of said who he was, even though I said here, because then again, we still have the Holy Spirit. You know, his work is also a little different as well.
Does anybody else's version of the Bible read any different than that?
For 1:14?
Yeah.
I was just hanging on to the Message Bible, but it says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good. I mean, talking about that in terms of the different, at least on this level, the different translations, how they kind of chime in, you know, and give you a different explanation in terms of, you know, what the scripture is saying. Yeah. If I want to read 1 Peter 1:20.
Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
So what do y'all think that, what do you think that's saying? Anybody have another translation of that?
I do. Christ was chosen before the world was made, but he was shown to the world in these last times for your sake.
Mm-hmm. So before the world was. He was there.
I guess one of the thoughts, going back to what you were saying earlier as far as the, the galaxies and all of that, that were, because actually in Genesis, when it starts talking about the creation, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he created at that time. So all these other things, all of these galaxies were already here. Mm-hmm. They were already, mm-hmm. they were already established.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about that. So with that scripture that you just read, Ms. Pat, I guess why is that called the beginning? If he was already here. Why is that called the beginning?
I believe it's the beginning of things concerning man.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he was here, no man was here. That's considered the beginning of manhood.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, so even though, so even though, like the Bible, you can see in the Bible, like when you read in the book of Job, it says, when Job is being questioned by God, he says, "Where were you when I was creating the world and all the sons of God?" So there's a reflection of things prior to the beginning of things concerning man. So I think the Bible, the overall context, is specific to
the beginning of mankind.
Yeah. So when it says in the beginning, this is your beginning, little man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But this is for you.
Don't think this is where we started. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And that. And so, you know, well, I guess it's been said that there's a possibility there's life on other planets, but this is Earth is what the Bible refers to as human, you know, where God created me.
Life,
And even at when the heavens, if we look outside of the Earth, the heavens, that's just, could be just a, in terms of when your mom said, go outside, but don't go outside, stay in the yard. Mm-hmm. The heavens is our yard.
Or the earth.
The earth.
Earth.
Here's how David says it. He says, the heavens, even the heaven of heavens, are the Lord's. Mm-hmm. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. Our restriction is to this little ball, this little dot right here. So
we call it earth.
It was until we had spaceships.
Right. Man has decided that he wants to
ain't
go
doing too far. They looking.
Talk about terraforming the moon.
So we look at in terms of how Christ was before the foundation of the world. And can somebody look at 2 Timothy 3:16? We're still talking about who is the Word of God. If anybody have a different translation, that'll help too, as well.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
And that's 2 Timothy 3:16?
That's first. I was reading it too.
But that works though.
That works. Keep your finger there.
I was reading it too.
Praise the Lord.
16 says, you said 2 Timothy
3:16.
3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Anybody have
because that one seems like it pertains first and greatest.
We ask the Holy Spirit to come, so he's here, so he's working. Then I know that I have the International Standard Version said all scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So all scriptures God breathed, you know, so it's still his scripture, his word is still as part of who he is. Okay.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and his word.
But it's beneficial for teaching, for reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, which still tells us God's word is still down comes as far as it comes to man, it benefits us.
Yeah, this thing's, you said God breathed.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, this is part of the
Man, can you imagine? The voice just... Okay, John 17:5. I'm going to read that.
Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Oh, man, that's an interesting connection, because we talked about how the scripture was inspired, how it was God breathed. And then John says, this is Christ talking, and now, O Father, glorify me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And again, man, how that so intertwined. He was still there before in heaven, before the worlds, but it was God breathed, so that's still a part of who God is. Because the word, you can't have a word, or say a word, without using some kind of breath. So God's word is still a part of who he is in the person of
Christ.
And John 17:24.
Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Okay.
Can we get a measure of
that? John 17:24. Okay. It's intertwined between 24, 25, 26, so that's how they do it. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am, so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world.
Okay. Anybody else got another verse?
I do. Father, I want these people that you gave me to be with me where I am. I want them to see my glory, which you gave me because you loved me before the world was made.
So when we talk about, I ask the question, who is the Word of God? Who is the Word of God?
Jesus.
Who is he talking to? Who is the Word of God?
Jesus is the Word.
Jesus
of God.
Is the Word of God. You can't separate them from that. You know, in this Bible study, I mean, you could when you talk witnessing to people, when people talk about who Christ is, these very same scriptures link Jesus Christ with God, his word, with him, and they're inseparable. Because I know some people, I mean, they have an issue with in terms of Christ not being God.
But, yeah, you know, there was Brother Ben X is like this, he's a Muslim, you know, and you know how like on Facebook those little like two minute videos are real popular,
mm-hmm.
kind of give you like a buzz in type of news thing. And so he goes into quote scripture just like that to counter, you know, the Christian thought about Jesus being God. Didn't your Bible say, and it's really catchy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And him being a young guy, mm-hmm. and very charismatic, it take Farrakhan and put and knock him down about 30 years. You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm, I know.
This is Ben X. This is who this brother is. And he's, you know, building up a following, you know, with these little videos to challenge Christianity and things like that.
With no, like, what is his aim? You know, that's, and I'm like, because I was talking about this with some young brothers, and I'm like, okay, so where is he leaving this discussion other than just to conflict your mind about the Word of God? You know, he's not, he really has no context other than to just try to bring up some kind of contradiction. Rather than saying, here's the correct.
Exactly.
Trying to do his point, I'm like, and you have to watch that spirit.
And so what happened in the beginning, in the garden?
All right.
What's the difference?
Contradiction.
Contradiction. Did God say?
Yes.
Contradiction. And that movement, you know, you hit a hot button.
I'm so sick of that, man.
You know, it's like, and that's all the more reason that we need to be in the Word to shut that mess down. They don't have time. They don't even be knowing what they're talking about. No. And why is the Nation of Islam preaching more out of the Bible than they are out of the Quran?
And the two, you know, is different between night and day.
Yeah.
But the focal point is always, in terms of Christendom, is Christ. That's the focal point. Who is Christ? You know, but and the church is quick to allow a Farrakhan to put them in his in their pulpits
because they just want some extra people to come to their church.
And you will not, I'm telling you, go and nowhere in front of a group of Muslims being a Christian and preaching Christianity or Muslim Islam. And you won't do it. But yet still, you know, but anyway.
That has to be a sign of lack of faith. If you allow them, you know.
But
And the very nature, like the like nature. Oh, I'm sorry.
Your faith.
Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm done.
I'm emotional. But the very nature of the Antichrist is not to be against Christ. That's why he ain't against Christ. So they come, the nature of the Antichrist is to come and appear as Christ, like a friend, like I just want to, and so they focus on Christ, not to necessarily bring them down, but to pull you away from them. That's all they want to do. And so it's like you have to be so careful with those kind of doctrines, because that's how he said the Antichrist is going to come and say, let me show you Christ. And that's what the Nation of Islam is always trying to do. We're going to show you who Christ is. Let me open up your Bible. That's the Antichrist.
That's the Antichrist, disguised as a black man.
playing on people's emotions. On their needs, the injustice, everything that's going to hit.
On the spirit of racism, prejudice, all that stuff like that.
They playing.
So we could clearly see that when we talk about who the Word of God is, we know the Word of God is Christ. And so now the next topic is in terms of the authority of God's Word. Because everything is still, again, it's almost like we're putting it in a funnel going down in terms of, because they're believers who still have an issue with some scripture in terms of is the authenticity of God's Word, the authority of God's Word. And so we're going to kind of look at that right now. And even if we don't finish all this, we can still come back again next week. I don't have a problem. You have a problem that day. Okay. Let's see. We're going to start with Romans 13:1. Read that.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Okay.
For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Oh, so God the one lend out the power.
Powers of the people. Anybody have a different version that they want to kind of?
Yeah. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. the authorities that exist has been established by God.
Amen.
I was listening to the prep breakfast this morning, and one of the distinct themes was, you know, it's like God was like reaffirming himself as the authority, you know, through the different ones that was getting up speaking and acknowledging, yes, we have a government. Yes, we have a constitution. And yes, we have framers that realized and understood that our power, you know, our governance don't come from man. Mm-hmm. You know, our liberties, our freedom don't come from man. Man don't give us our freedom and liberties. Right. God does.
God does. Amen.
You know, so just, you know, that being reaffirmed and established this morning was real. You know, it was real reaffirming. Right. You know what I mean? Kind of refreshing to hear. You know, when you have your the heads of states and delegates and officials and you know, sitting there and God reminding the president, the you know, senators, you know what I mean, that, you know, I'm God. So that was
you only have your power because I gave it to you.
So
be careful. let's move now to Job 34:13. I can read that right quick. Who have given him a charge over the earth? Who have given him a charge over the earth? Or who have disposed the whole world? Does anybody have a new American standard? Because I was looking at the American standard, and it said, who gave him authority over the earth? And who has laid on him the whole world?
Job 34:13.
So again, it's establishing in terms of his authority, relating it to who God is.
Job 34:13. Who gave him authority over the earth is a question. And who has laid on him the whole world? Question.
And that's, I think that was a conversation that Job was having with God, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to John 19:11. Does anybody want to read further in terms of with those? Job 34:13. You got another translation?
You want to read John 19:11, or did you want to keep on with Job?
I was going to. You have a. Hmm? Oh, I thought you wanted to read it. Something about Job. But we can go up to John 19:11.
This is out of the NIV. It says, "Jesus answered, 'You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin.'" In the ESV, it reads, "Jesus answered him, 'You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin.'"
Okay.
So what is this exactly saying? Is this saying that because man didn't have the power to give Jesus over to the man, so that God is the one who gave him the power? Because that's where all power comes from. So they're saying that God is the one who has the greater sin?
Well, this is when he had been taken captive. And he said to him, he said, "Don't you know that I have power to take your life or to save it?" And Jesus' response was, "No, you don't. You ain't got no power but what God gave you." So isn't that amazing, though? Like, in that moment, that Jesus was understanding that prophecy was being fulfilled, and the power of God's word was the ultimate authority. This man had nothing to do with what he was doing. That he had no power to take Jesus' life or save it. It was the word of God.
Right.
So that is.
But your question's about the second part of that verse, right?
The same part.
Therefore, he got delivered me unto thee. Because he has the greatest sin. Mm-hmm. The person who turned Christ over to.
Like Judas or God, because God's the one with the power that allowed
book,
it. Is
well,
what
this
says.
Book.
But
this book says.
Answer it then. You got it better than
says no. that they are guilty of the greater sin. They don't have. They are guilty of having it once because you handed it over. Mm-hmm. Guilty. That's what this one says. You know what I'm saying? And I understand better with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think I was kind of like carrying the two verses together because at first he was talking about the power, and then he's talking about therefore the one who hath delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin, and he's talking about Judas. So I'm thinking that God is the one who. Because
God allowed it, then he's the one with the greater sin, is how it sounds.
But not, it was Judas who had the greater sin.
Well, the people that delivered him, so it was the Jews.
But even with Judas, the power was still from the prophecy. Mm-hmm. And Judas was just the one that ended up putting himself in that place. Because if you think about it, like, this is why it's so important to when we go over communion that you know that we be serious about what Jesus is doing. So Judas is like a first example of being sitting at that table with Jesus, but knowing I ain't even for this cause, that he had already sold Jesus out. And so, but David had already prophesied that he that said immediately was the one that sold me out. Mm-hmm. And so that was still a, you know, and so the debate amongst certain circles is, okay, so was it necessarily going to be Judas, or was it necessarily just the criteria, and then Judas fell into that criteria? You know, so, you know, but we don't have to get into all of that.
And then I think the scripture, too, talks about Jesus made the declaration, Satan entered to his heart. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was still a choice.
Right.
You know, David saw it. Another prophet saw it, you know, about Christ's crucifixion. It was still a choice. Judas had a choice. Mm-hmm. But Satan into his heart, and he hearkened. You know, same thing like with Pharaoh. Moses went say, hey, did God, he said, let my people go. And scripture says God hardened his heart. Did God harden his heart, or was his heart hardened because he felt he was God? And so here you telling me another God. I ain't never seen telling me a God that I feel let some people go. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So that in Judas' heart, listening to Satan, you know, in deception, mm-hmm. you know, in whatever Satan filled his heart with, in mind and heart, you know, 30 pieces of silver, he not probably really Jesus, you know, really the Messiah. This guy got miracles and he's something, but he ain't the coming Messiah. Even the other disciples had doubts and questions. Even Peter was like, hey, you know, yo, Jesus, you can't do this. You can't do this. And Jesus was like, hey, get behind me, Satan. You know, but it wasn't enough deception in his heart, you know, for him to betray him to the degree that Judas did. He denied him, but did betray him.
And I think what I'm trying to do here is to kind of inch toward connecting God, his authority, Christ, and ultimately to us, because we have that very same power in our hand. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm just taking a kind of a slow, kind of winding road to get to that point in terms of establishing God's authority. Who is his authority? Who is his word? We talk about the word, his authority, and all kind of going to funnel down to who we are, mm-hmm. and what we have. Okay. And saying that, let's go to Psalms 138:2.
I will worship toward thy holy hill and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Am I having another translation? Or So is that saying that God has magnified his word, Christ, above his own name?
It said God answered my prayer. In my Bible, it does like subtitles. Mm-hmm. And so it says Psalm 138, and it said, God answered my prayer, a Psalm of David. And then it says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God answered my prayer. So,
anybody have another translation?
I'll bow down towards your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted all, exalt above all things, your name and your word.
So is that saying that God magnified his word above his name?
It's a good question. I mean, I guess if you look at it in context, you know, historically, God didn't have a name. They didn't have a name for God. I mean, they, you know, Adonai, El Shaddai were characteristics.
Characteristics are right, exactly.
You know, of who he who he is. But no distinct name, you know. So his word or the charge of Moses or what was given to Moses, his word and what he gave to the church of Israel, I would believe, you know, acknowledging him, his word, and how David, I guess, would look at it, his word, not necessarily his name, you know, but the authority of his word and who he is.
Who he is. Right.
And with what he says and demonstrating it. At his word, David went after these people.
Right.
And God manifested, you know, to charge his word. Right. So,
and see, I guess what I'm saying, what I'm looking for, or looking at, is in terms of his word being Christ.
Right.
Is, and his word being just authoritative as
just
he
authoritative
is,
as he is.
Versus his name, which I think you're bringing up a good point, Brother Jermaine, whereas, you know, basically he go to people and say, well, this is what you can call me. You know, because even if we look at Jesus in the very end, he says, you know, you meet this certain criteria, you'll be with me. I'll give you a pillar in the throne room, and I'll tell you my new name. So even his name is going to change. But
his word
ain't never going to
change. It's never going to change.
Right. So, yeah.
Right.
It's like, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, though, the scripture does refer to his name at some point, though, as Jehovah, right?
That, but that's, I mean, just not a characteristic, because there's Jehovah Jireh, there's Jehovah, different type of, you know, but that's just a characteristic of his name.
Oh, I never thought about it that way.
There's, yeah, it is a point where he does actually say, you can, this is, you can call me Jehovah, but then there are some other points where,
well, he said, men I am say, that I am.
Yeah, well, men said, he named that place Jehovah Jireh because God
provided,
provided for him. But,
but I know in Bible history, the Jews were forbidden or afraid to say his name. That's why they came up with the, they never said his full name. That's why they came up with just the consonants, right? And not having any vowels to it. But it was a man.
Because it was too holy to speak.
Because it was too holy to speak. You know, even if you go back and look at when God, Moses, was on the fire and bush, he said, tell him who I am that I am. You know, and that in itself is not a necessarily a name per se, but it's a way of describing who God is.
Right.
I am that I am. Which not it's saying everything, but saying nothing.
Almost like an introduction.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Like an announcement, rather than a name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I included this in terms of when he said that word, magnify that word above thy name, and I'm looking at his word as being Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I can see the
and his authority in his word. If his word is that high, and he brought his word is for us. He, again, he and his word they're the same. You can't separate them as, you know, but as we go on further, we have his word. So we have the same kind of authority in his word.
And it also, too, it speaks about credibility. Who, like, I'm Dan. Well, who is Dan? But you, Dan being a man of his word, you know, hey, Dan, he told me he's going to be there at 5 o'clock. Dan shows up at 5 o'clock. You know, Dan said he was going to do this, and Dan did it. So it also speaks to God's credibility because his word is true.
It's true, right.
You know, and he's not a liar. And so it adds credibility to his name.
To his name, right.
By what he does.
Right.
You know, his I mean, what he says in his word, he actually does.
He actually does, right. So. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. But do y'all get that in terms of the connection? Let's go down to again Matthew 24:35. And again, you're talking about still Jesus Christ, still the Word of God, and the authority that He has in His Word. It says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away."
Amen.
And Isaiah 40:8. He says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever."
Amen.
Stand forever. And it reminds me again of a video Pam told me about where this gay pastor was trying to convince a straight pastor of his lifestyle that you could find it in the Bible. And again, it's almost as though he's saying, God has not evolved in terms of into who I am as being a gay pastor. Mm-hmm. And again, questioning God's word. God's word was here before you got here, brother. His word is going to be here after you leave. And when you go, if you go to hell, his word will still be alive. You know, again, it's questioning who God and God's word is. That God, I mean, that, and again, that's my take on what he was saying. God has not evolved in terms of who I am as being a gay man.
Lord help us.
Yeah.
Lord help us.
Second Timothy
2:9.
Anybody have that?
I do.
Yes.
I'm going to go jog back a little to the beginning of the sentence instead of starting at the comma. "This is the good news I preach, and I am suffering because of it to the point of being bound with chains like a criminal. But God's teaching is not in chains."
And I looked up some of the translations. That word "bound" was chained.
The word of God is not bound.
It's not bound. God's word has no boundaries. Has no boundaries. So what is that saying? God's word, well, I know what it's saying. That it has no boundaries. Because if it said if God's words have boundaries, what is that saying about God?
He's limited.
He's limited. And God is unlimited.
Where the word of a king is, that verse is coming to my head, but I can't think of what the rest of that verse says. Where the word of a king is, there is...
This is one where technology is good.
Yeah. I got a verse is Ecclesiastes 8:4. It says, "Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you doing?" It's another one says, "His command is backed by great power; no one can resist or question it." So I just want to throw that one.
Okay.
The word.
The word. Right.
I think it's where the word of a king is. There is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who? Yeah, you just read it.
Read
it in a different verse.
Yeah, the King James, where the word of a king is. That's why I was just sitting on this, the Holy Spirit moving, because I was just sitting on this for like 20 minutes. But to add a note to that, too, is that when you think of, you know, natural kingdoms or kings, or, you know, if you watch movies or whatever, A king had to be careful what he says because the king's word becomes law.
Right.
You know, and so a king had to be careful you know, what he decreed. That's why, like, Nebuchadnezzar, was it Daniel Nebuchadnezzar, right? You know, his words was powerful. He said, hey, you know, they ain't worshiping. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, they ain't bow down and worshiping.
Right, right.
And he gave a decree.
Gave a decree.
And he was like, oh, no, Daniel, I'm sorry. Right. You know, I gave his decree, right. You know.
It can't be turned back.
That's right. You know, so, you know, the word of a king is law. You know, becomes law. And just think, when you was talking about the universe and what we have discovered about God's law, whether that's gravity, thermodynamics, you know, all
quantum
of these
physics.
Quantum physics. You know, all of these things was already established. When God spoke the world into right. existence, it you know, it created these laws. You know, we make those distinctions. But just his law, the word, like you said, if the earth was tilted like just a centimeter, right. I mean, the world.
If it slowed down.
Well, if it slowed down, the world.
5 miles, you know, for just 5 miles.
Yeah, so just think about the word that God, the world is spinning off of God's word.
Oh, word, his word, amen.
You know, the sun rises right. Out of God's word. He got it sitting there making the sun come up, but to how. I mean, man, cool.
That's deep.
Yeah. Just, man, yeah, hallelujah. Shout, thank bro. You, Jesus.
Yeah. Check this out.
Woo, hallelujah.
When you think about when man make a car, he has to think of every intricacy of that car for it to run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God just said
car run.
Yeah, he just said
something. He just said something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all that stuff. Ooh, man, that is kind of deal.
Yeah.
So again, from then until now, It still is.
Mm-hmm.
Operates as he spoke it.
And then all the things that was before that.
Yeah.
That we can't even.
Yeah. We don't know about.
It's like, what's the word? We infallible.
Infallible.
You know, just. Right. Just, I mean, man, it's insane.
What gets me excited about this, and Van, thank you for doing this, brother, man, because. Like, this is so important to have the perspective of God and his authority in the right place.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because it says through wisdom the world was framed.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yep.
Through his wisdom. So, okay, so if his word can frame the world, what can it do for your life?
Yes. Right.
Let me go back to this quote I said last week. It said, a man's word is only as good as the authority he has to enforce what he says for as long as he is.
Yeah.
And that ain't much.
Right. And so we look at, put God in there.
Right.
As long as God's God. Whatever he says his word will do, it will do continually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I say something, like a king, when I die, just like when Obama left office, they're trying to retract everything. That doesn't happen with God.
No, retract.
Right. It's no retraction.
So then, at the end of the day, specifically this segment, what we started. Okay, so it's saying, basically, we're saying to know Jesus is to know his word. Mm. And so if you know Jesus, and then that means you know his word. So maybe you don't know Jesus in his entirety, but we grow into the knowledge. That's what Paul prayed, that you may grow in the knowledge of Christ.
Yes, yes.
Because the more you grow in the knowledge of Christ, you grow in the knowledge of his word.
Yes.
And the more you grow in the knowledge of his word, the Bible says that this is eternal life.
Yes.
Yes. To know God, the only Jesus Christ
whom thou hast sent.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that eternal life, while it may be mistakenly believed to think that it is coming, it's eternal.
It's eternal.
That means there is no time.
It's not bound. Right. It's not bound.
His word is not bound.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's something you can get into. Eternal life.
Yes.
Not eternal fear and dread and apprehension and anger and no, he wants to have us to have eternal life.
God has no beginning, nor does he have an end.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you get into like terms. The Bible talks about the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, that dunamis power.
Mm-hmm.
It is described as a self-perpetuating power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't I mean, we tap it into a little bit of it when we with green technology and stuff, but they're perpetuating power. It's not starting and, you know, stopping. It's perpetuating. All, you know what I mean? Right. The dunamis power, right. God. It's always working. Right. It's always perpetuating.
Right.
You know, moving forward. You know, growing. You know, strengthening, right. Empowering, right. Life-giving.
Yes.
That it rose a man from the dead.
Right.
You know, so much so. I mean, man, when Jesus rose, the Bible says it was some other people that rose with him. I mean, just
right.
The power, yes. That was just present, yes. Even at, yes. His resurrection.
Resurrection.
You know what I mean? I mean, we, you know, the left for dead and the dead zombies and. He wasn't zombies, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? They walked among.
They walked among. That's true. It is. So, that's right. That power.
Yeah.
Just and that was control power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy Spirit power.
Yes.
And I think about even what you're saying, self-perpetuating, as well as the Bible teaches us. Like in Hebrews, it says, you know, everything you saw in the temple, everything that was just a shadow of the things to come.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was existed there was a fire that could never go out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God wants to be in us, is a fire that never goes out.
Come on.
But you ain't this self-perpetuating
right.
Now.
Yeah.
You ain't got to keep adding logs.
Yeah.
You trust in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, yeah.
Hey, just like our salvation. Our salvation. Once we're saved, that's it. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's no, can't lose it, per se. Well, that's having a plan for conversation.
Yeah. I mean, if his promise is that he will, he who has power to keep us,
mm-hmm.
and present us to himself,
mm-hmm.
it's like I say a butterfly don't go back to being a caterpillar. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's how I look at like
right.
salvation,
mm-hmm. right.
You know,
right.
To be back a caterpillar,
right.
You know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a minute left, and I'm going to stop right here because I want to start on time and I want to be on time, end on time.
I'll finish this conversation on my way home.
Yeah, I'll be finished this at night when I wake up early in the morning. Because sometimes, you know, you have to.
Because
I know at nighttime the space is not as thick.
Yeah.
You know, because you look at it in terms of the sound waves, it kind of clogs the space. But at night, early in the morning, when there's nothing going on, to me, it's going, so what do you mean by that? And I talk to God just like I talk now. I say, ooh, that's deep. Oh, yeah. So, are you telling me that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, wow. I have to step away a little bit. Then come back and say, so, you know, but anyway, yeah, but this is one of those kind of conversations. And I think this is important because when we're talking about God's authority, his word, his power, who he is, that's our ammo. That's our life. That's everything. That's our salvation. That's our eternal life. That's our sword. That's how we are able to lay hands on the sick, raise the dead.
Yeah, his word.
His word.
Yeah, that's what Peter and John said, wasn't it? It ain't by our power.
Right.
This man walking.
Mm-hmm. So this is foundational, you know, to foundational. Yeah. So.
And he's credible.
Yeah. So I hope you all come back again next week so we can kind of finish this up. And I think what's to me is the conversation that we're having, you know, and the questions that people are asking, you know, and kind of, you know, going a little bit deeper. Because to me, that's where true Bible study takes you to it beneath the surface, you know, because just like when you dig in gold, and that's why. Africa is so valuable because that's where the gold is at. So how much more should the Bible be valuable in terms of where we should dig deeper and deeper into God's word?
Like that.
That's a quote. I know once I leave that door, I'm going to forget it. So somebody write it down.
I've been pondering this. I guess I could share it. It's just a thought I was having. I you know, scriptures, I mean, we talked about the depth. Is truth, is there a depth to truth, and is truth layered than just truth? This is just the thought I had. Just, you know, ponder it and you know, whatever you gather from that. But
from my experience and my relationship with the Lord, truth is layered.
But truth is truth.
I mean, there's truth, but there's a depth to truth,
right?
And there's a layer to truth,
right?
And I just off of my growth in Christ, I've experienced truth in salvation and coming and recognizing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior,
right?
Truth,
right?
But then as I begin to walk with Him and
That's what I was just trying
to think, there's a depth to that truth.
As of the beginning of the relationship,
and, you know, transformation in my mind and renewing of our minds, which is a continual thing, you know, as much as we have a relationship with Him and, you know, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you
know, continues to grow.
And there's a depth to truth. You know, you begin to see things differently, you know, versus maybe your truth or your perception, you know, that God deepens that, you know, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
But if you look at depth in terms of the roots, this is another quote. If you look at depth in terms of the truth, of roots of a tree. The deeper the tree go,
the stronger it is.
Amen. Its anchor
is in,
then it begin to affect the other. You writing this down? You getting this?
I'm thinking of the scripture to go with that.
I'm thinking about somebody right now, so I want to get that thought.
You said an eight, but you know, this is the free flow moment right now, right? How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves does not wither. And whatever he does, he will prosper. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Yes.
So I was just thinking, when you're talking about that tree, the roots, you know, be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
What Bible verse was that?
That's Psalms 1.
And so when you were talking about the layers of truth, what came to my mind was like parenting. Like when you have a child, you say, you don't touch it because it's hot. That's dangerous. That's an owie. But as they grow, they learn the power of fire, and they learn the depth of fire and what it can be used for, good and bad.
Yeah.
So I think like God does that to us as the Word is living and evolving to us as we grow in Him, and we become more in tune with the Holy Spirit inside of us.
Yeah.
So it's like right now, this may mean one thing to me because of where I'm at in my life and where my mind is at.
Yeah.
But that same thing later on may mean something completely different. And if I try and share it with you where I'm at, it may just fall dead.
Good.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I
think like the truth is still the same, but our understanding of it
is layered.
Develops based on where we're at with the Lord.
Yeah.
So the layers are in us.
The layers are
in the truth.
Right.
And so I was thinking too, just comparing that to once saved, always saved. You know, so we start out as babes, you know, we grow to be, you know, we from milk to meat. And so, but at the same time, if once we're saved, we're always saved. It, you know, it's a process. It's a growing process, a developing process to, you know, become more rooted and grounded. But can you be plucked out of that at a babe? Can your faith, we were talking, is that something that can be, you know, taken away once you've claimed that, once you've accepted? If you're there, it's not like you can just be plucked out. Once saved, always saved. Your faith is, and it wasn't faith, we were, what was the other thing? It wasn't
layers
faith, it was
truth.
Truth. I'm saying faith, but truth. So, once you have the truth, truth is truth. at your early stage, you believe, you still believe. You've accepted Christ. You have truth. So you can't just be plucked out of that. It's still truth. Even though there are layers of truth, you still at that point are in truth. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And it goes to what you guys were saying. The perception is within us. Mm-hmm. Truth is established truth, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, perceptions and growth and change. You know, mm-hmm. change is, you know, how we look at the world around us. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what, I guess that's the beauty of God, that speaks to the uniqueness of us as individuals.
Yes, because that's how he
made
us. You know
what I mean? It's established truth, but our perception of that truth changes over time.
Yeah. And our ability to digest it
is
different.
Yeah.
Can I entertain something?
I wanted...
Because I know what you go on and on.
Yeah.
What I'm doing, because I know from what we talked about last week, this week, is spawning other Bible topics.
That's what I was just
saying. Because I'm trying to.
One saved, always saved.
That's good. One saved, because I know that's controversial. Mm-hmm. You know, just keep notes in terms of when we go off another tangent, that's a sign, that's another topic to talk about. You know.